I'm glad Titus and Gabe read the verses that they did, because our topic tonight is going to come from a word that both of their verses talked about, and it's this word, behold. So we're kind of going to do a word study tonight on this word, behold, but it's going to tie into a couple of other things as we go through the Bible tonight. We'll be reading a lot of scripture, so get out these things. So you're going to be doing a lot of flipping around. So as we get started, this is a picture of our high school as we went to Texas to go with Southwest and a couple of other congregations to go to a Texas Rangers baseball game. And then the next day we went to Six Flags. This happened at the end of July. It was super fun. But as you can see in the back, you can see how big Globe Life Stadium is. I mean, it's massive. It's also one of the nicest stadiums in the major leagues. Most people will say it's probably one of, if not actually the nicest baseball stadium right now. And it was built probably about a year and a half, 2 years ago. And so you probably can't see, but in the back there's a ton of gift shops. There's a ton of places to eat there. Because I don't know if you've been to a baseball game, but it's pretty boring to watch. Yeah, it's pretty boring. And the average length of a baseball game is about 3 hours long. And I looked online. The average length of actual live play is 18 minutes. So when the ball is hit, when the ball is in play, that only happens for 18 minutes in a single game. That's why this stadium has all that food, and that's why it has all these gift shops, because the game gets boring fast. We got there just a little bit late, because we were trying to find tickets, scramble around, trying to get to our seats, and we ended up missing a home run because the stadium is so big that you're just distracted by all of these things. It's pretty remarkable. And for Emma and I know she didn't want me to say this, but these two boys were our distraction too. Those are my nephews. My oldest brother, Dane Berkey, he'll be here in the last Wednesday of this month to speak. He ended up being at the same game with us, and he brought his sons along. And a lot of that time, if we weren't hanging out with our youth, we were babysitting his nephews. And that was fun, but it was distracting because there were six home runs hit that game. And we missed like two of them because one time, the first one was we were late. But the second one, I think Benny had something going on and he was playing or we were walking him to go get some food and we just missed it. And so as we think about that, baseball is kind of one of those sports where you have to pay attention all the time. Even though there's only 18 minutes of play and it's a 3 hour long baseball game, if you're not paying attention, you could miss something big. This is a fungo man. This is a machine pitch, but it doesn't just pitch balls to you when you're hitting. It's also a machine that hits balls to the outfield. You can have it at home plate and it'll hit 300 feet. Like it's pretty cool. It's a pretty cool device. When I was eighth grade, maybe ninth grade, I was playing baseball at my hometown and we got this new machine and we thought that was the best thing ever. And just like the game of baseball, if you aren't paying attention, you could get hurt or you could lose a ball game. For me, it was getting hurt. I was in the outfield. I was taking fly balls, and this machine was pitching it out. And me and my friends were just kind of talking, just being lackadaisical. And all of a sudden, it's my turn, and there's a baseball coming my way. I didn't see it. I'm looking up at it. The sun's out. It's probably 90 degrees at that time, and I couldn't see it. And so, what do? I just run. I run back to the end of the fence, and I get hit in the back and I end up falling. That's probably why I quit baseball when I got into high school. But besides that, we talk about baseball and how it's one of those sports where you have to be paying attention. And if you're a fielder, if you're a Texas Ranger, you have to be paying attention more than anyone else out there, because you get paid millions of dollars to pay attention to a white little ball being hit or being pitched and coming your way. The great catcher Yogi Berra used to say that 80% of baseball is mental and the other half is physical. And he says that to tell you how much of a mental sport it is to focus on the game of baseball. And as Gabe and Titus read their verses tonight, there's this word, behold. And we're going to be studying that just a little bit. But in a baseball game, or if you're me, if you're in practice, errors happen when we don't pay attention, when we're not understanding the situation that's going on. That can hurt our play, and that can hurt, and that can choose whether we win or lose a game, and not just physically, but also spiritually. And this word, behold, that we just read about, we see in Genesis chapter 1 that the word in Hebrew is this word, hene. I can't pronounce it very well. I'm not an expert in Hebrew, but that's how the word looks, and that's how we're going to say it. And we see this word come up over 1,000 times in the Old Testament, which means it's probably pretty important. This word was kind of a filler word, and we'll talk about it just a little bit later, but it's a word that means see, look at this, if, or even the word lo. People say lo and behold. Older generation says that, and you know, it's the same word. And also another word for that is pay attention. And it's used over 1,000 times in the Old Testament. And when we read in the book of Genesis, God specifically uses this word to draw our attention to the narrative that he's trying to create for the Israelites, to the and it's for the origin of God's people. And so when God uses this word in Genesis chapter 1, skip to verse 29, it says, "Behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the surface of all the earth, and every tree which has fruit yielding seed, it shall be food for you, and every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the sky, and to everything that moves on the earth which has life. I have given every green plant for food, and it was so. God saw all that he made, and behold, it was very good." So when God uses this word, he says, "Behold, I will make you something great." You know, he's saying, look at this. Look at what I am fixing to do. I'm fixing to create something greater than all of the other things that I've created so far. And that's what he does with mankind. Well, and then you skip to chapter 6, and we kind of know what happens in chapter 6. If you've been reading your Bible and you know the creation story, along comes a lot of wickedness. Sin enters the world, and what happens here is in verse 13, Noah is picked by God to help restore humankind and restore mankind. And he says, "Then God said to Noah, 'The end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence because of them. And behold, I am about to destroy them with the earth.'" So we get to this narrative, and God tells the people, or the author, Moses, is writing this narrative of the creation account and how Israel came to be a nation. And he tells them, look at what I'm fixing to do. I just made something great, but guess what? They're disobeying me, so I'm going to take that away from them. Take away what all the good that was in this world, but it's been corrupted. And that's what happened to mankind, is they quit paying attention to what God was wanting them to do. Rather, they were continuing to choose themselves. You guys know what this is. This is an exclamation mark. Back then in Hebrew and in Greek, they didn't have punctuation marks. So they used words like this word, behold, instead. And so that's why we see this word come up so many times in the Old Testament and even in the New Testament too. And so, as we've noticed, God, when he says this word, he usually follows it up with some kind of action. Whether that be he's going to punish someone, or he's going to command something, or he's establishing some kind of covenant, because he uses this word also with Abraham. He says, behold, I am going to establish my covenant with you. No matter what, when he used this word, he was going to continue following through with what he wanted to do. And when the people, when the Jews read these words, it told them that God is going to make this happen. It helped them see that God is in control. This pastor in Israel, his name's he's got a lot of expertise in Hebrew. He said when people read this word, he said the word, it required attention and not haste. I don't know about you guys, but I seem to talk really fast. I seem to get really excited when I'm given the opportunity to speak. And usually when I'm reading my Bible or I'm reading something and I get to an exclamation mark, usually that means we should be excited to read it. And yes, that's what it means. It's okay to be excited, but you know, the punctuation is there for a reason. And it's called for us to stop and look. And that's what this word behold does, is it tells us to stop and pay attention. And so when we read our Bibles, if you ever get a chance to just read your Bible on your own time, and even from the Old Testament and the New Testament, when you get to this word, behold, the point of that word is to tell us to stop and not to skim over what's going on. And sometimes a lot of us, and I'm guilty of this, sometimes we don't look at the whole story. We don't see what God is really doing in that moment when we come up on this word, behold. And like me getting hit in the back with a baseball, I wasn't paying attention. And that lack of attention can, when we read our Bibles and when we skim over something that may actually be something really important that the Holy Spirit, that or the author that was inspired by God trying to write this text, you know, when we don't pay attention to those little things, sometimes it can hurt our souls. In Isaiah chapter 3 and verse 1, we get to a place where the people have become restored after they go to Canaan. They have kings that come in and try and help keep faithfulness within the nation. You have David and Solomon, Hezekiah, Josiah, some of those kings. Those are the many kings that have tried their best to keep Israel in check and keep them on the right side of history. But you had a lot of bad kings in between there too. And when people continued to disobey, in Isaiah, we get to this point in Isaiah where Isaiah tells the people that you're going to be in captivity because of the things that you have committed, because you did not pay attention to the little things, not just the law, but you didn't keep the law within your hearts, it caused destruction. Isaiah 3 and verse 1 says, "For behold, the Lord God of hosts is going to remove Jerusalem and Judah, both supply and support, the whole supply of bread and the whole supply of water." Well, I wanted to use this reference to the destruction of homes is because as people, we need things to survive. And God says, because you have disobeyed, I'm going to cut you off from what I have originally promised you. And that includes the food you eat, and that includes the water you drink. I am going to separate myself from you because you decided to not pay attention to me. And that's what a lack of attention can bring. It also brings a destruction of families. And in Proverbs chapter 7, Solomon, when he writes these Proverbs, he's talking to this audience. He addresses them as my son. He emphasizes for them to keep my words and keep my wisdom because there's life within these commandments. And when he continues to speak to these people, to the audience, he then talks about, here's an example of what not to do, and here's a warning of the people you should not interact with. So he talks about this person, starting in verse 6, it says, "For at the window of my house, I looked and saw through my lattice, and I saw among the naives, and discerned among the youths, a young man lacking sense." And you skip to verse 10, it says, "And behold, a woman comes to meet him, dressed as a harlot and cunning of heart. She is boisterous and rebellious. Her feet do not remain at home. She is now in the streets, now in the squares, and lurks by every corner. And so she seizes him and kisses him." You know, this harlot comes in, and because this man did not decide to pay attention to the wisdom that Solomon was giving him, this man ends up falling short and ends up breaking up his home. And so sometimes it may not be a situation like this where an affair comes along, or figuratively where maybe falling short on some sinful level, but when we don't pay attention to our families and maybe what matters most, maybe that's teaching them at home when we go home from church, or we're deciding to pay attention to our phones because we're tired from work or whatever that may be, rather than paying attention to our spouse, taking time to enjoy our company with them, and rather we want to just stay isolated and keep to ourselves, that can be destructive. And so that's what happens when we don't pay attention to the little things. And then the last thing is we go back to that time of captivity. There's this destruction of ourselves. In Lamentations chapter 1 and verse 18, it consists of different poems and different people that are writing or lamenting out to God what is going on with their captivity. They're distraught. They feel horrible for the things that they've done. And if you look at verse 18, it says, "The Lord is righteous." And he says, "For I have rebelled against his command. Hear now, all peoples, and behold my pain. My virgins and my young men have gone into captivity." This person isn't just saying that You know, he gives glory to the Lord here. He says, the Lord is righteous. And so what happens is he says, we deserve this. I deserve this because I did not pay attention to the little things. And then he says, behold my pain. And so sometimes when we don't give time to maybe pray at the beginning of our day, or maybe it's we aren't taking time to read scripture and take it as words of life, or we're not, or when things get stressed, you know, we're not going to our brothers and sisters, our spouses, or our families and either confessing or being honest with them about how our life is going and trying to grow together, that lack of attention can bring this destruction. And so sometimes we do it to ourselves, is kind of what I'm saying. And this person says, behold my pain. He says, see and look at my pain. He's crying out to God, this is what I've done, but please release me from this. And that's what happens when we don't pay attention to the important things in life and reading in between the lines and seeing the importance of raising our families in a godly way. So we skip to the New Testament with this idea of this word, behold. The Greek word for this is edu. And so I hope you guys edu this as you... Never mind. I was trying to do something with it, but did not land well. That's okay. But this word adieu occurs over 200 times, or almost 200 times. And so if you add up the 1,000 times it occurs in the Old Testament and the 200 times it occurs in the New Testament, this word behold or see or pay attention, it means it's a pretty important word. And the writer John, who wrote the Gospel of John and the Revelation book, he uses this word about a fifth of the entire time it's used in the New Testament. And, you know, his goal when he's writing the book of John, and even with his Revelation, you know, I'm not going to get into the specific details in Revelation. I haven't studied it enough yet. But I believe his goal is to point Christians to the life that Jesus gives if we continue to obey him. But why does he use this word? Well, most of, if not, I believe all the disciples were Jews, and they probably knew the Old Testament scriptures growing up. They probably used these words a lot. Maybe not in their talking or their dialect, but they saw this word a lot. And when they used this word, it wasn't just to, you know, just say, hey, we're writing this in a holy way, but it was to give the listener the chance to go back and see and pay attention to what is happening in this moment. And it takes them, and a lot of the listeners, it took them back to the Old Testament and said, oh, I remember when whoever it was, you know, Moses, when Moses wrote the Pentateuch, he used this word a lot to help us pay attention. And so he uses this word so that we don't miss the things that God intends for us to see. And that's even the little things. And you go to Revelation chapter 22, verse 12 and 13. And Titus just read for us. It said, behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to render to every man according to what he has done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. When John has this revelation, He writes this letters to the seven churches in Asia, and when he writes this, he's telling them of the things that he had seen in a dream. You know, no matter what you may believe on this subject, more than anything, I think this sums up what the end is going to look like. And he says, "I am coming quickly. I, Jesus, am coming quickly." These are his words. And he says, "My reward is with me." He says, "To render every man," he's saying, "I will pay back to them what they owe." And if you go back into verse 11, it says, "Let the one who does wrong still do wrong, and the one who is filthy still be filthy, and let the one who is righteous still practice righteousness, and the one who is holy still keep himself holy." And so when Jesus comes back, he's going to pay back every man according to what they have done. And that doesn't include the big things, just include the big things. Let me rephrase that. But that includes the little things we do too. Maybe the time that you could have brought someone to Christ, maybe teach them the gospel, and somehow it just didn't happen. You know, the little moments where it was, what if? Or maybe it's something else. Maybe it's a moment where you hurt a friendship, or they hurt your relationship with them, and you weren't able to reconcile with them. And so the little things that we talk about here matter. And that's what Jesus is trying to say here, is that, kind of like Marty said earlier today in his lesson, and Phil just talked about it too, and when Jesus was tempted in the desert, Jesus says, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Sure, salvation is extremely important, and that's something we need to continue to be teaching, because that's how we come to Christ in the first place. But it also means the little things you do after that. And so when we come to Jesus and we achieve life, we want to continue to be in that life. But again, when Jesus comes back, he's saying that, "I'm going to repay to you what you have paid me." And so that's why the little things matter. You know, and he references it, and he goes back to how he is the first and the last, the Alpha and the Omega, and the beginning and the end. And so no matter when he comes back, it's important for us to know that the little things matter. And so to be true disciples of Jesus, you need to pay attention to the minute or tiny details that he practiced too. Because Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." And in John chapter 1, verse 35, it says, "Again, the next day, John was standing with two of his disciples." This is after the testimony of John. "And he looked at Jesus as he walked, and he said, 'Behold the Lamb of God.'" You know, he's acknowledging that, look and see, Jesus is here. "And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. And Jesus turned and saw to them, following, and said to them, 'What do you seek?' They said to him, 'Rabbi,'" which translated means teacher, "'where are you staying?' He said to them, 'Come and you will see.'" And so Jesus invites each and every one of us to enter into a life that is better than what we have had before. No matter what is in your past, no matter what has gone on in your life, maybe you've been, you know, overloaded with work, or maybe it's, or maybe you've been overloaded with sin. You know, you're falling short of the mark that Jesus wants us to live by. Well, I want you to look around and see, like that word behold, and see the life that we get now, and that's through Jesus. But to achieve that life, we have to pay attention to the little details that he teaches. And so my challenge to you tonight is, are you paying attention? When you read your Bible, or when you go home, and maybe you see this word come up in your reading, I want you to stop and look and see what the text is really saying, and what maybe Jesus is trying to say to you. Maybe there's something that you're falling short in your life, and you need prayers, or maybe whatever that may be. We encourage you to start paying attention. Start paying attention to the little things in your life. Maybe you don't know what the good news is, or you don't know how to pay attention, but you know that you want to follow Jesus. Well, I encourage you to do that today. I encourage you to not wait and to come down and see how you can have a full life that Jesus promises. Whatever your need, or whatever that may be, we want to help you with that. Come forward now as we stand and sing.